اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، ولياً وحافظاً وقائداً وناصراً ودليلاً وعيناً حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعاً وتمتعه فيها طويلاً. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد المصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا أثار الله وابن أثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشيائهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجانا، ولعن الله عمر بن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي، لقد عظم مصابي بك. فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة. يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشياعكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالات وليكم وبالبراءة من أعداكم والناصبين لكم الحرب وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم. إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة. وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله ناطق بالحق منكم. وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. ويوم عاشوراء يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعنة منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم العن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم العن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني، وابدأ به أولا، ثم العن الثانية والثالثة والرابعة. اللهم العن يزيد خامسا، والعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمر وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة سجدة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم، الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود، وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. صلوات
بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد و آله. بار دیگر بلندتر صلوات. اللهم اصغر کی لا جب کہ اٹھائی حسین نے، اصغر کی لاش جب کہ اٹھائی حسین نے، دیکھی بغور اپنی کلائی حسین نے، بھرلاش آسماں کو دکھائی حسین نے تقریر یہ زمین کو سنائی حسین نے لے اے زمین میری امانت سنبھال لے امانت سنبھال لے میں سوپتا ہوں اب تجھے بانو کالا لے اصغر کی لاش جب کے درود بھیجی محمد علی محمد ایک بار پھر درود بھیجی محمد علی محمد قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں بہت دیر لگی قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں بہت دیر لگی شے کو ایک چاند چھپانے بہت دیر لگی ہائے قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں بہت دیر لگی کچھ قدم دور ہے بازار سے دربار مگر کچھ قدم دور ہے بازار سے دربار مگر پھر بھی شہزادی کو آنے میں بہت دیر لگی ہائے قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں بہت دیر لگی شہن ہر لاش کو جلدی سے اٹھایا لیکن شہن ہر لاش کو جلدی سے اٹھایا لیکن لاش اکبر کی اٹھانے میں بہت دیر لگی ہے قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں بہت دیر لگی ٹکڑے چنتے ہوئے قاسم کے کہا مولا نے ٹکڑے چنتے ہوئے قاسم کے کہا اس کے آنے بہت دیر لگی ہے قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں بہت دیر لگی ہائے اس قدر پیاس سے سوکھا تھا گلوئے سرور اس قدر پیاس سے سوکھا سرور شمر کو تیغ چلانے میں بہت دیر لگی ہائے قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں بہت دیر لگی کربلا جا کے تکلم کربلا جا کے تکلم نے یہی پوچھا تھا مجھ کو سرکار دیر لگی ہائے قبر اصغر کی بنانے میں
درود بھیجی محمد آل محمد
There was a request for brother, I believe if I remember his name correctly, brother Asad Beg, to have the Ayah Sharifa recited for his well-being, inshallah. together five times. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 All those who are suffering from this illness, this pandemic, and we ask Allah by the right of Imam al-Hussein to relieve all of us and all the people of the world of the difficulties and the headaches caused by this pandemic, inshallah. Recite a salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين بمقتمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We pray that Imam al-Hussein and puts the right words into the mouth of the speaker, and also those who are listening can take on board what he wants of it, inshallah, and most pleasing to him, inshallah. One of the aspects of the personality of Imam al-Hussein, the context of Karbala and particularly the last moments of that event, إِمَنْ لِأَمْرِكَ لَا مَعْبُودَ سِوَاكَ. O Allah, I am pleased with whatever your decree is. No one that is worshipped other than you. There is no one. Everything and everyone. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything and everyone in the heavens and the earth is only worshipping you. In the context of ease, comfort, you read, watch a speech, a YouTube lecture or something regarding this concept, and you think repeated, these ideas are repeated in the Holy Quran, and they are repeated in the Ahadith. So when we come across them, to accept them in the context of ease and comfort, and to say the words that Imam al-Hussein said in his context, while we are in our comfort zones, is easy. The words that were heard is showing us that we are supposed to develop these ideas, that when things are not pleasant to us, we don't have to think twice about understanding the condition. We don't have the right feelings and express the right words regarding that condition. This is something that I think is very important for the believers that are aspiring to be the followers of Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayh, the Imam of our time, those who are awaiting the coming of the Imam of our time. First, a little bit about the concept, because that is one of the biggest pitfalls in, we don't get a full understanding and we're told, okay, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, for instance, al-Iman lahu arkanun arba'a. There are four. It's to hand over all affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Another is ar-ridha bi qada'illah, to be pleased with what God has decreed. Okay. So we like it at that point. But then when the context comes where we need to show and to feel that idea, that concept, that truth is with what it is before we entered that context, we're not going to be able to. One of the pitfalls is not having a correct understanding of this. What does it mean to want something? Our feeling towards whatever qada'illah is, that we'll explain second, is that we're pleased with it. Okay, we're pleased with it. Being pleased with something, you're not disliking it. You're fine with it. Absolutely fine. That's what that means. Ar-ridha bi qada'illah. Now that can be explained further after we talk about what does that mean? The words are simple. It means God's decree. Okay, it's not a very complex word. But what exactly is God's decree? What does that mean? What does that entail? What does that apply to? For example, if I take measures, correct or incorrect, as a result of the measures I take, the decisions I make, I enter a particular arena, things start happening to me, some of which are pleasant and some are not pleasant. Someone, I lose something. I did certain things, I made decisions. As a result, I can see I made these decisions, these choices regarding my... I made these decisions. As a result, I ended up wherever it is that I like or I dislike. My decisions are involved. Does this include qada'illah? Or does it not include qada'illah that we need to clarify? Another area... Is it good things that we attribute to qada'illah only, or is it bad things as well? For example, in the context of Karbala, Hashem does some very wrong things, right? Harmala does some very, in the context of Karbala, they do some very wrong things. Is that qada'illah as well, or is it not qada'illah? Is that God's decree, or is it not God's decree? When it's happening, okay, this is God's decree, this is qada'illah. And what's your position with it supposed to be? Ar-ridha bi qada'illah. I'm supposed to be pleased with it. If it's not, then, okay, I have a right to be upset at the situation. I have a right to be, because it's not qada'illah. I was supposed to be pleased with what? With qada'illah. This isn't qada'illah. This isn't what God has decreed. This is something that someone else has done. Shimr did this. The people of Kufa did that. I'm leading a battalion or whatever against me. He's commanding a fleet against me. Most problematic in accepting. The first part that has to do with the result of my decisions, I make decisions and then things end up one way or another. There's a lot, of course, decisions that you know the only reason you made them was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to. It was clear to you, you did your research, you spoke to the people. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me. You did it and things go wrong. Things don't happen the way you expected them. Everything starts getting screwed up. And you're wondering, what in the world is going on here? Do we do something wrong? Very simply, I'll just put this out because I want to move to the other part that is the focus tonight, at least. Times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's in charge of everything. anything that happens is His decree. For example, do tasbih of the name of Allah. Why does it say the name of Allah here? Go and look that up or try to think about it. But anyway, starts with tasbih. Important. Everything is doing tasbih. Other chapters start with. This one commands us. It says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. You need to do this. خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. The one who created and perfected can be one of the translations. فَسَوَّى. He measured things out. He planned things out. The whole universe, anything that is going to happen, everything that will happen, everything, planned it all out, including what we do, everything. قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. In fact, this verse talks about what we do, because it says فَهَدَى. He guides to what He has decreed, what He has measured. I go searching for food. While I'm searching for food, for example, I come across something that I wasn't looking for. I hear somebody asking me for something. It's an opportunity. I again remember what the Imam had said, remembering that at this point, taking that food and giving it to the person, all of this fahada, he had measured out. This food was not for you to have. This food was for that person. You were supposed to feel hungry, go buy that. Want to take a bite, then hear someone asking you for help. Remember the words of, I made those decisions. But that was planned out by whom? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the verse says. الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He did taqdeer, he measured, he planned everything out. Then he guided everyone to where he wants them to be. This is, discuss this any further, but keep that in mind and think about it. Think about it. If we want to believe this, this going back to the general idea, الرِّضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ, without focusing, it says this is one of the pillars of what? Of iman. You want to have iman? There's four pillars. Any of them missing? You don't have iman, the high level iman, the real iman, the true iman. The iman as we can to that. If we want to develop that, we need to understand these elements, these details of the idea of qada'illah, and the events, go back to it, refer to the verse, how does this make, keep going back and forth with that idea until it starts to be clear up one way or another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that didn't make sense, or I don't know, in this kind of, I just, it's easier not to just move on. We're never going to develop it. But if we work on it, we go back and forth, we see it, and we find it, inshallah. The other part, bad people, the evil that happens in this world, the wrong that happens in this world, the illegitimate wars that happen in this world, something that I need to be pleased with. And mind you, I'm not going to focus on this idea because it's God's decree, because it's qada'illah. These are two different ideas. They're both true. What is wrong, what Shem did is wrong. He's going to burn in hellfire for what he did. Harmala, similarly, all these bad guys, they all did very wrong things. And this doesn't justify that. That's on one level. On a higher level, all of that is God's will. Especially when an ignorant does, I don't know what they did to these people. I don't know, this was a very, very difficult hold of the wheels of a military aircraft. And I don't know what they were thinking. It's clear this was in dire desperation. Okay. This is in people is such a desperation that they feel they need to get out. And if they die on the way, it's better than staying. Otherwise, I don't know what justifies you. And then watching a person fall, as though how a people can be oppressed on so many different levels. When you see that, you need to do. Well, the whole idea of la'an, of bad people like The ones that are clearly bad, like Banu Umayyah, or anyone that from it, you don't want to be part of that, you go against it, all that's right. But that happens in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that very act from the perspective of it being the decree of God has good in it. Everything in the heaven. It's not like good people, good things, good acts, all that belongs to Allah, and then all the bad people, all of them belong to the devil. No. Or anything that the world into good and evil. There's a God for good and God for evil. Well, it's not monotheism. There's only one God. And everything is under His control. It's very clear in the Holy Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. From the perspective of the attribution of the act to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Him causing that, there's good in it. Whatever that good is, whether we can process it or we can't process it. Now, all of that is when you're going through it as an observer, when you see on TV this happening to a people, the creation of an Afghanistan after they defeated the USSR, creating division between the Mujahideen so that they will not unite and form a good government they can all agree with. Shayateen got involved with that. Then they brought, you see all of this as an observer. You're supposed to see the evil from the other perspective. This is under God's control, God's planning. From that, there's good in it. I'm too deficient to understand. It starts affecting me directly. When it's like the context of Karbala, Imam al-Hussein has done everything that God said. As a result, some of the worst people, tragedy in the world, and Imam al-Hussein is the target of all of that. If Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is torn to pieces, Hussein is the target. He's being torn to pieces. He's watching that. He's torn to pieces with them. Then it's his turn, physically. All of this is, Ya Allah, I did what you said, first point. And these guys are doing this. How should I feel in this context? Ya Shi'at Ali Abi Sufyan, O followers of the family of Abu Sufyan, if you're not Muslim, at least be human beings. This is addressing them. Battle that despite he's all alone, he's thirsty, he's wounded, he's been hurt all day. On the other side, there's 30,000 people. They're afraid of getting close. In this context, he doesn't lose sight that all of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. This is qada'ullah. He had already been told this was qada'ullah. The taqdeer had already occurred. The planning was always there. He's happening to him right now. All the pain, all the suffering, all the treachery. They said, come, many abandoned, some are on that side now fighting him, competing with one another. Who does worse to the Ahlul Bayt? It hurts a lot more than swords do. While it's happening, these people is in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. I deal with these people the way I'm supposed to. God says I need to deal with them. I deal with the Lord of them and myself in a different way. This is really amazing. And even talking about it is difficult, much less to try to develop something similar on a much lower scale are happening. Is difficult. One thing is we're so consumed by the hurt, the pain, the difficulties that we do is hope that this is not going to happen and pray that it's not going to happen. And then when you see that it is happening, again lose sight of Allah, or God forbid, turn around and say, because this also negative things to him. Not only are we not pleased, we're very upset. God, I listened to what you said. I did what you said. Some of the things that we've heard, if we add that to the mix, it becomes even. Came to Imam al-Hussein and said, do you want us to help? And they could have helped. Imam al-Hussein says, no, I don't want your help. It is said, and I don't know what, but they came to the Imam and said, we want to help. Imam al-Hussein said, no. And of course, if anybody understands who Imam al-Hussein, he didn't need the angels to do that. That's a reality. This is just to warm up to get to that much more difficult idea. Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayh, is Khalifatullah. Everything is Imam al-Hussein at that time. A very difficult idea to process. Some people think this goes against. The idea is, if angels have the power to do things, their power is nothing compared to Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayhi. He didn't need them. He could have, if he wanted to. God gave that power to someone that is so close to Allah, he doesn't want. How can we try to do this, try to develop this, is one point. Another is, why is it so, with basics or with other issues, or, you know, is this even really something to? On this point of, is it important, is it not? I'll just say, look, Amir al-Mu'mineen said, Iman, that the Quran is ar-ridha bi qada'illah. You tell me, is it important? Is it important? If Ali ibn, the strength of Ali ibn Abi Talib in lifting that door single-handedly, and we think that's a huge thing, and then some people think, well, remember that and then go to a gym and then start, I don't know, going on steroids or whatever, get bigger muscles and so on. That's why when Amr ibn Abdu'ud saw Ali ibn Abi Talib before him, he said, you know, give me somebody else. He's too young, inexperienced. He didn't look like a buffed guy in front of Amr ibn Abdu'ud. The strength came from Iman. Said words that change our lives if we take them on board. This is one of the golden words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. Move towards having this rida bi qada'illah. That's so hard to picture. How is it possible? Whatever is an obligation, we have to try our best. If we're sinning, we're never going to get there. But if we're trying to do that, besides those things, the reason why we've been spoken to so much about this concept, and we are reminded of, remember, try to say those words, try to calm myself down, try to remind myself, as difficult as this condition is, it's the plan of Allah. Sure, deal with the situation if you need to get onto someone because they didn't do that guy to screw up, for you to get frustrated. So while you're getting onto that person, say, Ilahi ridhan biqada'ik. Try this. Try saying it. If we fail, in being pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering that failure and feeling bad about not doing the right thing, this is called an-nadama, or regret. And the hadith says, kafa bin nadmi tawbah. If a person regrets what they have done, this is tawbah. The way we can always have seeing it, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change it, feeling regret, this is tawbah. And trying to fix it next time, and again, and again, and again, and again, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets us closer and closer to the example of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, sallallahu alayhi. Ruhi fidaka ya mawlai. Tonight is a difficult, this
infant in Karbala. And I think one of the difficult times in the context of that al-ridha biqada'illah is to experience this. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Madhluba Atshana. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved, Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved oppressed Imam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. The Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates. Walaka ya Mawla. Imagine a 6-month-old baby. The problem of thirst in Karbala affected everyone to nurse him, who needs water and milk more than anyone and more frequently. His mother has not had water, and so she can't nurse him. He's watched every single one of his companions go to the battlefield and reach the rank of Shahada. He's watched his Ali and al-Akbar, his Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. The accounts say the Imam came to bid his family farewell. Suddenly, his glance caught Ali ibn al-Asghar. The account says this baby yataladdha 'atasha. He was moving his lips, water, some milk. Imam al-Hussein realizes if he doesn't get water, this baby will die. I don't know, some have said this was us. Imam al-Hussein takes the baby, raises him above his head, addresses the army. This baby, water for myself, you can come and take him, quench his thirst, and return him. From a distant Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayhi, seeing this, they say he told Harmala, what are you waiting for? Why don't you quench? He feels the baby shiver. Ya Allah. Thick is the neck of a 6-month-old baby. I don't know what type of arrow this was. Imam al-Hussein looks up. Ali and the Imam gathered the blood from the neck of Ali and al-Asghar, threw it up in the air. Oh Allah, be a witness. Ruh, being concerned, did the mother see? What am I going to do with this baby returning back
back to the tents. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين.